There we'll begin reading at verse 17 through to 30. Hear now God's holy word. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write the King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And now the words of our text this morning. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up the ghost, his spirit. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there are not enough words to describe why we can call this day Good Friday. What took place on Calvary on Good Friday so long ago is not only the essence of Jesus' ministry, but is the heart of Christianity. It speaks of our redemption and of the inexhaustible love of the one that earned it for us. Christ's crucifixion showed the profound depths of Christ's suffering, but it also marked the consummation of his mission. The mission which God had sent his Son into this world to do was now accomplished. That for which he had left heaven's glory, that for which he had taken upon himself the form of a servant, that for which he remained on earth for 33 years to do, was now consummated. The goal of his incarnation is reached. That which had been eternally purposed had come to pass. The plan of God had been fully carried out. I bring you God's word this morning with the simple theme, It is finished. Beloved, did ever a man appear so hopelessly lost, so completely and utterly defeated as our Lord in the hour of his suffering and agony on the cross of Calvary? His enemies appeared to have triumphed over him. He was mocked at, beaten and scorned, spit upon, scourged and crowned with a crown of thorns. And finally he was led to the place of the skull, Golgotha, where, as verse 18 tells us, they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Beloved, Jesus is nailed to the cross and numbered with the transgressors, exposed as a common criminal, in fact, as public enemy number one. And then the other Gospels tell us that darkness envelops the cross, and from out of that darkness in the ninth hour, we hear that terrible cry of utter amazement from Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? Beloved, in that moment, as in none other, the Son knows the full measure of his Father's wrath. All of divine justice crashes upon him, wave after wave. All the sins of the elect of all ages and the hell that they deserved for eternity are laid upon Christ on the cross. Those words from the cross represent the lowest point of Jesus' suffering. It is a time of incredible density, a time so compacted, so infinite, so horrendous, as to be incomprehensible and seemingly unsustainable. He is in a far country, a strange country, hanging in the naked flame of his Father's wrath. He endured the holy wrath and judgment of God against the unrighteous. He experienced the fearsome reality of falling into the hands of the living God who is a consuming fire. But beloved, in the hour of what appears like his utter defeat, the crucified one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, sounds forth a statement again. And now there is a note of triumph in his voice. After Jesus receives the sour wine, Jesus cries out again. But this time, it is an announcement of victory. Jesus says in verse 30, "It is finished." This is one of the briefest of the seven utterances that Jesus makes from the cross. And we may wonder to ourselves, what do these words mean? What is implied in this announcement? Just what is it that was finished? Beloved, when Jesus said, "It is finished," he was not uttering a sigh of relief or some moan of resignation. This was not the despairing cry of a helpless martyr. It was not a statement of defeat, the kind one would give if they think that all is lost or all is hopeless. We can do that sometimes ourselves, where we say, "I'm finished. I've come to the end of my rope." But this is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus has not at all given up all hope, nor has he come to the end of his rope. When Jesus here says, "It is finished," he is saying that his sacrificial work is finished. It is true that there yet remained the act of death itself, which was necessary for making the atonement. But this follows immediately after he says these words, with him bowing his head and giving up his spirit. And so we need to understand that when Jesus says these words, "It is finished," he is declaring, first of all, the completion of his sufferings. He suffered at the hands of men and at the hands of God. But now the suffering is ended. The cup has been drained. The awful storm of God's wrath has been carried out on him. The darkness is ended. The sword of divine justice is sheathed. The wages of sin have been paid. The cross has been endured. Divine holiness has been fully satisfied. And now with a cry of triumph, our Savior exclaims, "It is finished." The shame, the suffering, and the agony are past. Never again will the light of God's countenance be hidden from him. Beloved, for mankind, suffering or death is never a victory. Death is never the goal or the purpose of our life. Death usually takes us away from the stage of our earthly life and labors at a time when it would seem that there are still so many unfinished tasks, so many things that we still wanted to do. But with Christ, it is completely different. He chose a life of suffering and death.
From the moment he left the heavenly palaces of light to the moment darkness descended upon him on the cross, it was all part of his redemptive plan. Jesus was, as Isaiah 53 tells us, despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. And he does not merely suffer in battle, but his suffering is the battle. He does not simply fight to the death, but by dying, he wins the battle. He deliberately chooses the way of suffering and death. He is the royal suffering servant because there is no other way for him than through the death of the cross. For Jesus Christ, the cross was not just the end of his life. It was the accomplishment of his mission. By dying on the cross, Jesus fulfilled his task and finished the work the Father gave him to do. As Jesus said in John 4, verse 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." All the work which the Father gave him to do was now finished. This does not mean that the Savior is now not working. He has been given all power in heaven and on earth. He reigns in might and glory at the right hand of the Father. He preserves his people and causes all things to work together for the coming of that glorious day when he shall appear again from heaven. But Jesus here on the cross is looking back on his life in flesh and on that part of the work that had to be finished in his human nature, in the likeness of his human flesh along with his divine. He is considering the whole work of his suffering on earth and the terrible agonies of the last few hours, and with regard to that plan of redemption that only the Son of God could have accomplished in the world, he says, "It is finished." This is why these words are an announcement of victory, the shout of a victor and a conqueror. And all of this, beloved, all of this has great meaning for us. For Christ came into the world to save sinners. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as sons and daughters of God Most High, as Galatians 4 reminds us. Luke 19, verse 10 says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Beloved, before Jesus died on the cross, humanity was in a bondage to sin. We were sold as slaves to sin, and we deserved to die in captivity in hell. And a price needed to be paid to redeem us, to buy us back from sin and death. That price of redemption was a perfect sacrifice, a price that we could not pay. The case against us as sinners was utterly hopeless, but God appointed his Son to stand at the head of his sinful people so that he might represent them, take their place, assume responsibility for all their sin, and bring the perfect sacrifice that would satisfy the justice of God and forever blot out the guilt of sin. The demands of God's justice had to be met. The requirements of God's holiness had to be satisfied. The awful debt we incurred had to be paid. And on the cross, this was done. Done perfectly. Done once for all with his precious blood. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he was announcing that he paid that price in full. The word that Jesus spoke, translated, "It is finished," was used by the Greeks for financial transactions. A sales clerk would write this word on a sales receipt. What it meant was paid in full. It meant that the purchase had been made and no debts were outstanding and no further payments were required. Finished is just the word to describe what Jesus did on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, He paid the full price for sin, buying back our freedom. His work of redeeming us from sin was perfect and final. Jesus did it all, finished it all, and suffered it all. He made full atonement, full payment. We read in Colossians 2, verse 13, that God forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. This is why Jesus said, "It is finished." The debt has been paid. Sin is blotted out. Eternal righteousness is obtained. And beloved, the fact that Jesus is finished suffering for sin and paying for it means you and I, we cannot add anything to what he has already done. If Jesus paid for it all, then you do not have any payments to make. You cannot refinish the finished work of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that you or I can contribute to the payment that Jesus made on the cross for sin. There is no penance you can undergo, no good work that you can perform, no pilgrimage on which you can embark, no punishment that you can endure to clear your guilt before God. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant, "It is finished." It means that he has completely paid the price to release us from our bondage of sin and freed us from the tyranny of the devil and the judgment of God. Romans 8 verse 1 reminds us beautifully, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." All that a holy God requires has been done. Nothing is left for the sinner to add. All you and I need to do is to accept, to receive this gift of God with a believing heart in Jesus Christ. As Romans 6 verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Beloved, if you try to pay for your own sins, you will never be finished making the payments. But when you come to the cross, you can be finished with the debt that you owe to God once and for all. And this is because, as Isaiah 53 verse 6 tells us, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Putting all our faith and confidence in Jesus Christ, we enter into his finished work. We enter into a finished righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ, and have peace with God. We enter into a perfect victory over sin, the devil, and death. We still fight a battle in this world, but it is a battle against enemies that have been conquered and destroyed by the captain of our salvation. None of our work can add to the perfection of his work. Our fightings cannot make his victory more sure or complete, for it is finished. Beloved, in closing, this morning we have the privilege of celebrating the Lord's Supper. God calls us to come to his table, acknowledging our sin, but nevertheless trusting and believing that all our sins are pardoned by the suffering and death of our Savior Jesus Christ, who perfectly finished the work of salvation for us. Is what we sing of. "Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished," was his cry. "Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior." Amen. In response to God's word this morning, let us turn in our Psalters, number 381, all the stanzas.